CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fired Up with CJ. Today, our guest is Dr. Scott Swartzwelder from Duke University and the author of What Are They Thinking? I'm Cassandra, and I'm here on CBS Sky Radio, and you can find CJ on Facebook under Fired Up with CJ, and also her website, same name, firedupwithcj.com. And I'm going to go right back to CJ and our guest, Dr. Scott.
Hey, welcome back, man. We have an information-packed session with Dr. Scott Swartzwelder. And in the previous section, I was saying, Scott, you know what? I just need you to tell me what I should say to my kids, and I'm going to replay this this tape or MP3 to them and say, hey, it's not me. You know, I'm not going to get involved, because if I say anything, if I retell what you're telling me, it's not going to be as effective as just having you tell them directly. So let's hear the conversation that you would have with your teens about drug use and, you know, to give them a clear sense of the powerful effects on their brain for trying some of these drugs.
Well, I would simply say, sweetie, I got to tell you, you know, whether you like it or not, or whether it seems fair or not, your brain at your age is different than mine at my age. That it probably doesn't take you by surprise, you know, because in some ways you're so much smarter than me. But the truth of the matter is that with all that great plasticity that you have going on in your brain right now also comes some vulnerability. And in some ways, your brain, simply because it's not fully developed yet, is simply more sensitive to the effects of some drugs, like alcohol, like THC, which is in marijuana, nicotine, and probably many others that we will discover. So the one thing I want you to know is that your brain, as wonderful as it is still developing. And while it is still developing, it's just going to be more vulnerable to these drugs. And so you just need to be very, very careful and just make informed choices. There's plenty of information out there. I'm happy to discuss it with you, but you're going to make your own decisions ultimately anyway. So let's work together and try to figure out what we know and what we don't know.
You are the best dad ever. Ever. What's the best ever? Okay. Now we're going to switch to a slightly different topic. We're going to be talking about video games and the refrain on our house and that you hear all the time on the internet. I keep on telling my kid, get off the computer. You're going to fry your brain, or get off the Xbox. Your brain's going to rot. So I want to hear from you, since you actually are a brain researcher. What are the downsides? What are things that and what are justifiable things that we should worry about as parents with respect to video game playing?
Well, I think there are some concerns. One of my main concerns about video games in particular is the violence that's included in so many of them. But that's not so much a brain thing as just a social learning thing. Violent video games do tend to desensitize kids to violence. That is, it makes them, you know, regard it less negatively. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad thing, you know, because violence is bad. But with respect to the whole it's going to rot your brain thing, you know, there's really no evidence for that. And in fact, there is some evidence that not just video game playing, but internet use in general, and social network use and so forth is actually good, in some ways. But it's all a matter of balance, you know. It's gotta be a certain amount and the right types, but to just cast it as a negative thing is inaccurate, and it's the kind of conversation that usually goes nowhere with a teenager.
So what are the right types, and what's a certain amount that's healthy for this if we wanted to achieve balance?
Yeah, I think that is something that depends a lot on the kid, and a lot on what else they're doing. So I'm a strong advocate for kids doing doing more than sitting in front of screens, you know. So if you've got a kid that's active in school and doing some sports and going on camping trips like your son is and things like that, you know, I'm going to be a lot less worried if he is spending, you know, a couple of hours a day, you know, in front of a screen doing some stuff than if he's not doing those other things. That 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day of screen time, whether it be TV, internet, you know, computer games, whatever, is going to bother me a lot more if he's not doing anything else. So
right.
It's sort of a question of how many balancing factors are in there. And there are no hard and fast rules. Again, this is one of these things, and I tell parents this all the time. It really has a lot to do with knowing your kid and knowing yourself, right? Because you've got to understand that your reactions to what that kid is doing are not clean. They are not devoid of your own memories, right?
Yes.
Of what it was like when you were a kid. So,
right.
You know, when you're a parent, part of being a parent is being an adult. And part of being an adult is looking carefully at yourself, not just at what your kid's doing, and structuring your advice and sort of the way you interact with that kid accordingly. So there aren't any hard and fast rules, but it would be absolutely incorrect to say that there's something inherently negative about using computers or video games or social networks.
Okay, so now we're going to play a game, all right? So it's a yes, that's true, no, it's not true, or maybe. So I have a bunch of benefits that I research on the internet, and I want about video games and computer usage in general, and I wanted to hear your expert opinion on whether it's true or not. So is it true that this computer usage does improve multitasking?
Yes, it can. It can, particularly in kids that have trouble with that kind of processing.
Okay. Dexterity.
Dexterity, probably not so much.
Okay. Eyesight.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Because this was a far stretch. It's like, well, because you're going to have to pick up all these different things on the screen, and that's going to help their eyesight. I'm like, really? Versus looking at a screen for 2 hours? I know that doesn't sound right.
No.
And the dexterity was, hey, they're going to be using their fingers and, like, moving stuff around, like the hand-eye coordination, which I actually think is true. The hand-eye coordination is out there, you know, in order to do that. I mean, I don't have it. Like, I've tried to play Halo with my son, and I get dizzy and, you know, fall on the ground. So,
right. But I'm so not I sure. Think, that I suspect they get no more benefit for high-end coordination by playing a video game than they do by going out and playing a game of baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying that if your kid is not playing baseball this semester, could they say, well, I'm getting some dexterity benefits, and you're saying, eh, no.
there's no good evidence for that.
Okay. Social skills will get better as a result of doing.
Again, it depends on the kid. There is very good research showing the kids who have social difficulties like social phobia and social anxiety can very much benefit by using social networking platforms and so forth, because it's sort of it's a safe way for them to begin to broach those contacts with other people. Not that it doesn't have its downsides and potential dangers, but it provides an opportunity for kids who have problems socially to ease their way in. It's a hell of a lot easier than walking into the lunchroom, you know, with a bunch of kids screaming and throwing food at you, right?
Yeah.
So in that sense, absolutely, it can help.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking when I was in fifth grade, I know it's hard to believe, but I was incredibly shy, and I think social media would have helped me kind of figure out how to navigate those social interactions in a safe, kind of anonymous way, so I get that part. Knowledge retention.
Yes, to the extent that the game or the process the kids engage in is actually challenging their memory. You know, like there's something to remember you have to come back to, or you have to keep a couple of balls in the air, you know, think I have to remember this while I'm learning this. To the extent that those things do that, absolutely. And in fact, there are video games, you know, computer-based games now that are being used routinely in older folks who are beginning to experience memory decline, and they can be extremely helpful to forestall the onset of memory dysfunction in older folks. So it would make sense that as long as that kind of activity is incorporated into the game, it would be an opportunity for the brain to get that kind of rehearsal.
Interesting. Okay, response time.
There's nothing that I know of that says that's any better. You know, you'd get any better benefit out of that than you would from doing other response time things, you know, playing card games that that require quick responses or things like that. You know, it may be within a very narrow domain of, you know, moving your fingers, you know, but response time involves a lot, in the real world, involves a lot more than just moving your fingers.
Yeah, and I think this relates to split-minute decision-making, same kind of thing, I assume.
Yeah, you can do it. And again, like these cognitive enhancement exercises that are now being marketed, you know, neurobics, so-called, right, are, you know, they're using those kinds of that kind of information from neurobiology to create these games that are supposed to do that kind of neurological exercising. I think there's something to it, but there has not been a whole lot of good research on it, and certainly none that I know about in adolescence specifically.
Okay, got it. I have a longer list. We will continue after the break.
It's
like,
okay.
As I sit here and drill you, I feel like I'm a police. Okay, how about this? Okay. Lots of great advice from Dr. Swartzwelder, a professor of psychiatry, psychology, and neuroscience at Duke University. We're going to continue talking about computer games and your kids and computer usage. We'll be right back.